What is up, my people? Welcome to Fellowship Bible Church's Sermon Spotlight, where we are coming at you each and every week with a fresh service to debrief in effort to send biblical truth. What better way to do that than by the power of conversation? You hear the chuckling already. We are ready to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to go over here to my left first and introduce Mr. Tim Sanford.
This is a first for me. How are you? Right there.
Yes. We'll give you special privileges and honors today.
Thank you. That's good.
Fresh off all of our Chick-fil-A lunches today.
Yes.
And I'll turn over here to Miss Abby Lindberg.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I don't think we've been on together in a very long time.
It has been a while.
So I'm excited to have you give your contributions to the conversation.
Yeah.
I say that we had Chick-fil-A today. We all were in our separate corners, I feel like.
Yes.
I was going through drive-thru. Abby was in one section. Tim came with a few other people. Didn't pay the bill, though.
Not for me. I ended up having to pay the bill. That's where that goes.
I should have put it on that tab.
Yeah.
You could have.
Well, forget about Chick-fil-A right now. Let's dive into Scripture. Even though the people call that the Lord's chicken, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we want to look at Daniel.
Yes.
And we've been in Daniel for a while, coming off of the Easter weekend. Tim, you get to follow on the heels of that and just continue progressing into a full chapter of Daniel 5. So I'm going to come your way in a second, but Abby, I'll go to you. Just give us your takeaway of what you gleaned out of the service.
Well,
she is totally blown away. I'll help her out
good.
With this.
Thanks.
Just amazed at it. Just Lord's done wonderful things in her heart since then.
I love it how Tim always just jumps
he's
in.
Ready,
I'm just helping out, you know?
Yep. Pause for a second. Is this part of your self-reflecting of how you didn't think a Saturday service goes well? So it's just all part of an application component as well.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You can throw Sermon Spotlight in there of being like, Sermon Spotlight didn't go as I wanted it to. Walk in the Spirit now, Tim.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really liked it was close to your opening statement of God's sovereignty is displayed in the realm of historical fact so that we can be confident in the realm of future fact, which has been, I mean, it's true of a lot of stories in the Bible that God's proving his faithfulness to us over and over again. But it seems so obvious in Daniel. It's like Daniel tells us all kinds of things that he had no business knowing, but God used him to message through.
Yeah.
So I just thought, that was a really good way to summarize what we've seen through Daniel.
Yeah. So can I ask a question?
Sure.
Reverse the roles here a little bit.
Yep. Like,
everything's different today.
Love it.
I'm just curious your take on this. So you say, okay, that is actually something that comes up in multiple places in Scripture, right? Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever thought of why does God keep reminding us of that? And why is it that we seem to need the reminder? Have you ever thought of what's going on in our soul that's creating that need for us? Have you ever thought about that? I'm putting you on the spot, I realize. So.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think we let our flesh get in the way, whether that's emotions or whatever. You could say the same thing about stress and anxiety. Well, then you need to be reminded of God's peace.
Yes.
Well, why do I have to be reminded? I already know that. But reminding yourself helps you with that. So I think it's the same thing with his faithfulness and all of his traits, really. We just let things on the surface level get in the way of what we know that's true about God.
Yeah.
And if we dig a little deeper, we can find it.
You kind of had two parts to your question. Why does he remind us? And then why do we need to be reminded?
Yeah.
Because he knows we need to be reminded.
Yeah.
And it's of everything. We need to be reminded of the full character and aspects of who God is all the time.
Right.
That's why he's set aside and prescribed for us to gather on a regular basis, because he knows we need that. We celebrated communion this past Sunday. There's that reminder component.
But don't we as humans, doesn't sometimes our communication give away almost this sense of I thought I knew that. So here I have to be reminded again of that. And somehow that's a problem for me because I thought I knew that. Kind of stuff, right?
That's where pride can kick in, though, too.
And that's where my mind goes to in all this. I think that these issues, the questions that we're asking right here, are indicative of the pride that we were talking about in this, right? We need to be reminded because we are not sufficient in and of ourselves. Mm-hmm. We need the Lord for this stuff, right? And it's a constant need, and so we're constantly being reminded, and no wonder the Lord gives us so many opportunities to be reminded of the fact that I am true, and I hold all of this in my hand here. You saw that? So trust me for this kind of stuff. But it's that whole issue of pride that I was talking about, where it just seeps into everything in our life. And, you know, we look at some of this stuff and say, well, when it's arrogance, ah, I can identify that. That's called pride, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of pride that is being displayed in ways that we're not as keen to figure out and call it for what it is.
Mm. Like the symptoms instead of the root.
Yeah, kind yeah. of thing. So if I am insufficient and I need those kind of reminders from the Lord, but I think I'm sufficient, and what I mean by that is, like, I can actually tell you, well, I'm insufficient because, you know, the Word of God says it, right? But if I really truly believe in my heart, but I am sufficient, this is, well, no wonder it becomes a bit of a shock to my system. Well, this is why I have to be reminded. That can be a problem for us unless we look at this and go, you know what, Lord, the truth is I'm permeated with pride. It is contrary to the way you are by nature, and this is just another evidence of how much I need you to be doing the conforming work in my life, right? To bring me into line with what it is that your word says.
That's somewhat of a mature perspective, though, what you just said.
Yes, yes.
You know, so certainly. It takes a long, years and years, and yeah. sometimes people don't ever get there. I know I'm still in that spot.
Right.
And so it's just the constant chipping away yes. at us.
Yes.
To mold us to where we recognize our consistent need.
Yes.
We might think, oh yeah, we do need God for salvation and to right. take us away from eternal damnation. I need that. But yeah. do I need him to chip away at me when I'm, like, you know, mad at my wife for doing something and I right. lash out? Or do right. I, no. Or do I need God to recognize him? Oh, you do need to rehear the gospel each and every yes. time in your need for him. Yeah. Oh no, that's pride that seeps in. So it's just the maturity mm-hmm. level mm-hmm. that we all need to grow
yeah.
in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at least recognizing that's the first start.
Yeah. yeah. So question for you.
Uh-oh, now she's reversing the order.
I am. So in our community group a few weeks ago, we were talking about some of these, like, traits, we called it, like, generational sin, things you've inherited from your parents and just, like, their behaviors. It could be mm. that mm. kind of thing. And, like, how that's played out then in our marriages, as most of us are youngly married. I don't know. We're yeah. not newly married, right. but right. we're in there. So, like, some of us were saying, like, we think our root is this. Someone did say theirs was pride. They felt mm-hmm. like they got a lot of pride from their parents or just the way they were raised or whatever.
Yeah.
And someone else said anxiety, like their parents lived kind of a fearful kind of life and they inherited those kinds of traits too. And mm-hmm. they've had that play out. And then, like, some of us talked about how we noticed some of the symptoms, but not necessarily what, like, that root sin was, if that yeah. makes sense.
Yeah.
So are you saying that you feel like everyone's root is pride, or are there different roots, you think, like fear or like other things?
No, I would say everyone's root problem is pride.
Okay.
And maybe if I can illustrate it yeah. some. Okay. So let's take anxiety. Mm-hmm. If I'm anxious about something, would you agree with me that that's an indicator of a thought process that I have?
Yeah.
Right? Something's going on in my mind. That's, I'm not anxious over nothing. I'm thinking about something, right? So when that is happening, is that thinking that's now what we see as anxiety, right? Is that thinking God's thoughts after him, or is that thinking my own thoughts that are contrary to God's thoughts after him? I'm asking.
Well, that's our own.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, great. So as I walk in that uh-huh. and I actually... You're seeing maybe some sweaty palms, some symptoms of my anxiety, my nervousness, right, about all of that kind of stuff. Because my thinking is such, well, God actually, his word tells me, right, like, for example, perfect love casts out fear, right? I don't have to be anxious for nothing. Mm-hmm. There's an opportunity for me to make some choices. So that's what his word says, but I'm actually functioning in this realm. Ultimately, what I believe that's showing is I'm trusting my own thinking more than I am his. And it's showing up in anxiety is what it is. So what is that a result of? My pride. Just like, remember Belshazzar, he says, you didn't get what Nebuchadnezzar got. You were lifted up in pride. You didn't humble yourself, and therefore you didn't glorify God. So why not? That glorifying, not glorifying God would be the same thing as anxiety, because my thinking is prideful and I'm not considering him and who he, if he showed up, God showed up right here, right now, not a single one of us wouldn't be glorifying him. It would just be automatic because we're seeing him for who he is, right? Or at least in part. And we would glorify him. But when my pride is what is prevailing in my thinking, no wonder I have a problem with anxiety or glorifying God or fear or anger, like you're saying, you know, with your, that all of those things come back to there's a proud issue there going on in my
heart. And pride can come up in the obvious form of, oh, I'm better than you.
Yes.
I know more than you.
The arrogant side of it.
But pride can come up also in the negative, which is where I'm not good enough.
Right.
Or or I am fearful, or I don't measure up because, you know, how could I ever look up and become that person? There's still the pride in that because you're placing the dependency on yourself to compare yourself to other people or whatever it might be. There's still that self-focused
that's
ultimately is the root of sin. I mean, look at what does Satan's fall come from?
Yep.
Lifting up myself in pride, that self-focus.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I agree. At the root of it all.
Yeah,
is this prideful, sinful, fleshly nature that is unfortunately with all of us.
And there's a deceptive quality to it, right? Like that's what happens is that God says this about us and we are deceived into thinking this about ourselves.
Yeah.
And so I said just real kind of quick, like pride is a beclouded state of mind is what it is. It's not seeing things accurately. Humility is seeing things accurately. That's why I would say seeing them the way God sees them, because he's the only one who really truly sees things rightly. My privilege is to understand what he says and align myself up with that. And then as he does that, that's where that humbling work, because it's not, I can't humble myself literally, but I can permit myself to be humbled as I submit to what, this is what you say, God, I will choose to believe what you say, not what I think, feel, whatever. And anxiety would be one of them. Why is a person anxious? I think there's value to assess some of that so that you're able to now more clearly recognize where the wrong thinking is at and bring that wrong thinking into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Yeah.
This is what's going on in my heart, Lord. This is what I'm thinking. And it's contrary to your word right there, isn't it?
And the reason why this topic is relevant, if I look at Daniel 5, verse 22, where he's talking to Belshazzar, says, "For you, his son," talking about Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar, "have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all this.
Yes.
But you have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your oldest wives, and yada, yada," and just here, God's going to come down on you, basically.
Yeah.
So he's like, "You have not humbled your heart."
Right.
It's fascinating to me to also realize, okay, these are not Jews. Right? We're talking about people who are not in the covenant of God, and yet they have at least been exposed to God, of who he is, the one true God.
Right.
They've heard stories.
Right.
I mean, he's not dumb. He knows Nebuchadnezzar and what happened with, you know, the fiery furnace. I'm sure they've heard about that and who Daniel's God is.
Right.
And they're turning their back.
Right.
And so it almost goes to like the Romans 1, you know, no one has any kind of you have no argument against anything because all of us have turned our back.
Yeah.
All of us have sinned.
Yeah.
And so it's fascinating to see that we need these constant reminders.
We do.
Because, as I'm saying, those stories, I'm sure, got passed down from generation to generation in the Babylonian Empire of who God is.
Yeah.
And yet, here he is. I'm not going to humble myself. I'm going to raise myself up and look at all the things that I've done.
Yeah.
We need these reminders.
And I'm reading into it. I'll admit to that. But okay, who in the world celebrates, has a party when the invaders are at the door?
Getting seized, right?
What kind of thinking is necessary for you to be willing to do that and put on a big party? Is that, and not only that, the context is, hey, let's go get the vessels that we took from the temple there in Jerusalem. We'll use those.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we doing that kind of stuff? I think all of those are giving us a hint of this problem that Daniel ultimately puts his finger on. You're swallowed up in pride. Look at what you're doing. Mm. Because in the cool light of day, the three of us are sitting here going, you shouldn't be partying. Like, you should be conniving and scheming and working towards how am I going to defeat that army or protect ourselves, right? But if you are so full of yourself to think, they can't come in here. Why? Because nobody else has come in here. Now, wait a minute here. It's no different than, remember with Peter, as we were going through there, there's some who say, there's scoffers. Listen, this has been going on all along. So why would we think there's going to be any change? That's what we do, right? It's the same exact stuff. So it just goes to show. And to me, the reason again for this is some people, they want us to see that kind of stuff because they kind of want to grind our nose in it, like as if somehow that's going to do us some good. God doesn't grind our nose in it. He wants us to see it because in the realization and recognition of this pride that permeates me and all the consequences, let's say, of that, it brings me more and more to that place of dependence upon Him. Lord, I need You, I need You, I need You, and I need You even for in the recesses of my heart that nobody else sees but You do. I am swallowed up in pride, right? And it's contrary to You. It doesn't bring glory to You. It has the effects on me that You say it does too, right? What a difference then when I see that, and then we'll turn to Him for that.
How prideful is it for us to even read these passages and be like, oh, he's an idiot. Well, yes. He's, what are we thinking? Like, how good he thinking?
We would never do
right,
that.
Right,
right? Yes, yeah.
Exactly. And here we are, we're looking at these stories and seeing who God is and who what humanity looks like.
Yeah.
And we're like, ugh, I would never do that. Or when you go through and look at the disciples, ugh, how stupid are they for not seeing the signs.
Yeah.
Well, we're in the same boat.
And isn't that, like, again, nowhere in this book do we see any kind of incrimination against Daniel for being proud. Hmm. Nowhere. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who, like, from the young age of whatever he was when he got taken captive, he's picked out. Hey, you're going to be one of the, come on, you're going to be eating the king's food. And you know what I'm saying? Like, he could have been swelled up over that. Now, maybe he was, and it's just not recorded.
Right.
But everything that is recorded, we see a guy literally walking in humility time and again. I'll tell you what what God's saying by this, and I want you to know this is God. It's not. You see him taking a humble position.
Even when the king said, like, you'll be the next in line, and we're going to crown you, and you're going to get this purple robe, and all this stuff. He's like, I don't want that.
Yep.
I'm just telling you this for your own good kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm just delivering this message because it's from God.
Yep.
And you're asking, so here's what it is.
Yes.
I still appreciate, and I know Rose Locke has said this to you a few times on the Sermon Spotlight here, that you go through a long passage like this, and you take time to give certain application points all along the way. And this week was impressive because it was a lot to get through where you needed to unpack the full story and you held out on revealing the end of the story to give a few of these kind of takeaway points. What do you feel like that you missed out on? Because this is a full chapter and here we're talking about kind of the humility and the pridefulness. What else do you feel like that you needed to or should have or wanted to convey?
Well, certainly some of the stuff that I put in the notes, I just knew I didn't have time to do all that, but I just highlighted them. You know, the character traits that are described of Daniel, I would have loved for us to be able to talk a little bit about those more and what that means for us. So, for example, the word light was he's light. We could have developed a lot more of, like, what does that actually mean? I mean, I said, hey, you know, we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, right? So so now we're no longer in that, and we're also called light, but there's ramifications to our life if we could get some of that. We didn't have time to walk into that. And the same thing is true with the Holy Spirit, like he had the Spirit of God within him. Mm-hmm. Right? The same thing is true. Wisdom, understanding, all those different words. So I just tried to give, here's a couple places someone can start with if they want to, but there's so much about that. And even again, I was hinting at some of this stuff, but, like, isn't it unfortunate that there's times when believers are ill-spoken of in a work environment because they are not functioning as a true child of God should be functioning, as opposed to, us having such a testimony before the unbelievers that even though they don't believe in God or like God or anything, there's something about us that is just a resounding testimony of who God is, right? Mm-hmm. That should be normal for us. It should be where employers are going, is anybody a believer? Because I've been around those guys, and I'm telling you what, they're great workers. Not that I'm getting everything out of them, but you can count on them not to steal from me. You can count on them to give me their word and mean it. You know, like you can count on the qualities and characteristics of a godly person.
Hmm. Yeah.
I wish we could have talked about some of that.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, and even as you were saying it in the sermon, I was thinking of the Queen's description of Daniel as very complimentary.
Yes.
And very like... kind of lifting him up a little bit, like, oh, he's all these things. And then you're turning around saying, yeah, we all are that. And it does kind of like normalize it in the sense that it's like we all carry those traits. And it's not that Daniel was unique because of them. Well, he was in this instance. But as believers, we all carry those traits. We all carry that that exuberance, I guess.
Yeah. I'll talk about this a little next week. But the reality is that we've got a 90-year-old man who's schooling us. Like we're literally watching, as we've read these five chapters, we're getting snippets of his life and seeing a 90-year-old man walking with God and doing it in such a way that he's modeling things for us, not to, hey, watch me, but he's just doing that and we get to learn from him. We're going to find in this next chapter that the only way they're going to be able to get to him is by realizing he always prays to his God. We're going to do something about that. How did they know that? Mm. There's a steadiness about this man over the years. He's schooling us in that. And so we are. We all have the Spirit of God within us. And it doesn't mean we have to go home three times a day and pray just like he did. Mm-hmm. But there has to be this attitude of dependence upon the Lord, which was why he prayed, mm-hmm. right? We're looking to learn how to pray instead of looking to, Lord, I want to grow in my dependence upon you, because guess what that'll mean? I'll be praying a lot, mm-hmm. right?
And as we grow in that dependence, we recognize that God is in charge, not us. Mm-hmm. It goes hand in hand with mm-hmm. that proudful heart versus a humble heart. And it goes to then, we will then be presenting ourselves in a light of who God is, like the story that you shared of getting mulch, of remembering, oh, I need to at least give God credit for X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And in the same light, Daniel is responding when he first approaches the king in the story. He says, O king, the Most High God granted sovereignty to your father Nebuchadnezzar. Yes. There's that little subtle, hey, God did this.
Yep.
You know, not anybody else, not you, not me, not us. And so I think we can all grow, as we grow in our faith and our dependence on God, we can grow in how we verbalize that.
Right.
And I'm bad about that. I mean, it's just something that I need to do a better job of being more natural in the conversation, being confident enough to vocalize to somebody around me, be like, God did that for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's displaying his glory to somebody else.
Right.
By verbalizing it. Or you realizing, okay, I dropped the ball on that one. Let me circle back around and do it again. That's great. Yeah. It's a great story because it just, it shows, okay, but, and Daniel had that as a teenager, as a 90-year-old man. He is recognizing to give God credit and not anybody else, which we can all learn from that.
Yeah. I wish there was more in the book about Daniel's character that we could study and learn, but there's not. But I think Joseph is a lot like him.
Mm-hmm.
And in Genesis, then you can read. And you can, because again, we have a young man who's told, hey, here's a vision, right? Mm-hmm. And how God uses the circumstances to bring that about to where, yes, indeed, his dad and his brothers are actually bowing down to him, right? And so is everybody else, for that matter. And you do not see a guy who's puffed up over that. In fact, when dad dies and the boys, the brothers are like, now he's gonna do us harm because dad's out of the way. And he just reassures them. He's just so humble, so willing to give that over to the Lord and let it be. You meant it for evil, God meant it for good. That's okay, right?
Yeah.
Great stories.
Yeah. One thing I always try to keep in mind too is that all these people, all these stories are about like ordinary people.
Yeah.
That God used, and they're still ordinary. So it could be any of us at any point that he's using.
Yes.
And that, right. And we have no credit. No, we can't have right. pride because right. we didn't do any of it. He right. just used us yeah. in that way, or used them in that way.
And wouldn't you say that, like, can you see the struggle that we all have with believing that God can use you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like a concern over that. And when you start asking a person who's thinking that way, like trying to dig into why are they thinking that way, guess what it all comes down to? Pride.
Yeah.
I'm looking at myself and I'm seeing inadequacy, even though God says, oh, you know what? It's the weak things of this world, right? Like the unwise of this world. It's the fools of this world that I'm using to confound the wise.
Yeah.
Well, guess what we get to be then? The fools of this world. We don't like that because of our pride. And when we look at our foolishness, we think, oh, God can't use us, right? So therefore, it undermines what God is trying to do mm-hmm. unless we have thinking that aligns up with what his word says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Abby, you have a lot of notes. Did we cover all of your thoughts here?
Yeah.
Okay.
In our roundabout. I appreciate it. Tim hijacked the whole yeah, course. No, this is
good. I want to make sure you get a last word if you'd like, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. We
us guys can be a little dominating. I'm sorry.
I've had yeah. caffeine.
Oh. Chick-fil-A caffeine. Yeah. There you go. Well, I'll give you a little pop quiz here.
Sure.
What can we think about or look towards in the future with FBC? Here in the next couple of weeks.
Events-wise,
yeah.
We do have the family meeting this weekend. That's Sunday at 6 in the main auditorium. And that's a time for us to gather as a congregation and just go over updates and everything happening behind the scenes or not behind the scenes.
Anybody's welcome.
Yeah. Anybody, yeah. Everyone, families, kids. There will be dessert if that's what gets you here. but that's on Sunday. And then... after that, we have some events coming up towards the end of the month, like a kids' musical mm-hmm. and clothing giveaway and that kind of stuff. But all of that is on our website and we talk about on Sundays.
Love it. Yeah. Tim, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Once again, we get you next week, yeah. right?
Yep.
One more
time.
Going to dive into the next chapter. Mm-hmm. Is it a full chapter you're going to cover again?
Oh, yeah, we'll go through chapter 6. Right.
Fasten your seatbelts, everybody.
Daniel in the lion's den.
Oh,
that's
yes.
That's a great story,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you going to paint a picture like it's a cartoon for us, or is this a real thing? We're ready to go.
VeggieTales? We're going to watch VeggieTales?
Yeah.
There's a good do idea that too. Right there, huh?
Well, thanks for watching and listening, everybody. And remind, again, if you're not subscribed to this podcast, just do that. It's easy to get the downloads whenever it pops up on every Tuesday. And if you know people that don't know about this, share it with them. Let them know that they can get this wherever they get their podcasts. And remember, there's other podcasts at FBC. You can look to the Global Church Podcast. You can look to the Fellowship Family, which there's going to be a new release of those this week. So I'm excited about what we have here with multiple ways to just learn more about who God is just through conversations like this. So the fact of the matter, guys, is that sermons are not meant just to take an hour, but rather transform a lifetime. So until next week, much love and God bless.